Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Welcome to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 29 years. And as we walk around here, come on around back. It's 8 o'clock. We open the broadcast to the entire state. If you have a question about your house, home, castle, or cabin in particular, the outdoor hour, the 8 o'clock hour, we have an 800 number that is not working today. I was joking. We had a big event Thursday night. And to take last-minute calls and make sure people were finding it correctly, we forwarded our 800 number to a cell phone, Susan's cell phone, our Tucson development partner development manager, so she could answer questions and direct people in to the event. I jokingly said, I'll pay you $20 not to forward it, just teasing Susan that she was going to have to answer the calls all weekend on her phone. Well, they took it literally. So our 800 number is still going to Susan's. So you have to call the local 602-277.
Wake up, Susan.
She's probably thrown that out and buried in the backyard. 602-277-5827. That's 277-KTAR. Will be the number for today. We'll get that fixed for next week. But it's also, you can email if you have a picture or you need some help with plant or insect identification, email it to info@rosieonthehouse.com, or you can text questions during the broadcast to 411-923. And we've got a full studio in today. Mr. Jay Harper of the Farm Choice, let's start us off. Where are we going in the garden today?
Well, a lot of people are probably out looking for Christmas trees, buying Christmas trees, cutting Christmas trees, bringing things like poinsettias home. All those home decor Christmas plants that we like to do in our houses. So, you know, a couple of tips, on the Christmas tree thing. And, you know, a potted living Christmas tree is a viable option, especially if you have a new home and you are going to need a tree anyway. You know, you might want to consider buying a potted live tree that you can then plant in your landscape at a later date. Just make sure it's, you know, if you live in Phoenix or Tucson, you buy one that will grow in Phoenix or Tucson. If you're going to buy a cut tree, make sure it's fresh. Obviously, it's common sense. But if you're going to a lot that the trees are out in full sun and they're not in water and they're going to dry out a lot quicker. So try and find trees that are perhaps shaded. The tree lot has put a big tent up or they're in the shade. Make sure they're kept in water the whole time. Make sure the needles aren't just dropping off. The thing with a cut tree is it's not going to get any better from the time you leave with it. It's just going to get worse. So make sure it's pretty good before you leave with it so that it continues to stay good. And obviously when you get it home, don't put it by the fireplace. Don't put it where the heater blows on it. You know, those types of things. Same way with poinsettias. If you buy a potted poinsettia, don't put it in a drafty place. Don't put it by the fire. They're tropical. They like continuous, 80-degree weather if they can get it. So keep it out of the cold or the heat, drafty situations. So, that's the big things. And, of course, if you're like the small houses, they're going to go cut a tree, their own
tree.
That's
exactly where I was going with that.
Then, those will stay forever. You don't really have. But, I have a tip there. Make sure I've done, because I speak from personal experience, take a tape measure. Because they look a lot smaller. You cut one, then you get it home and go, oh, crap, that ain't going to fit.
That's happened at least a dozen times.
That's a pretty common thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It is the first Saturday of the month, and going forward into 2018, we are going to have Julie with the Arizona Farm Bureau back. Welcome.
Good morning, Romy.
Good to have you back in studio.
Thank you. We have a lot of small houses on Rosie on the House today.
We do. Introduce your guests, and then we're going to have Alex talk about his how he identifies the right tree to cut down.
Or
does he leave it up to the kids and it's dad's responsibility to drag it to the truck?
Stephanie and Andy Smallhouse, Southern Arizona Ranchers. Stephanie is our new president for Arizona Farm Bureau.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
We're quite excited to have them here. And they're a family that, if the kids ranch, it'll be a sixth-generation farm. This is their 133rd year. And Stephanie, we're so excited to have you as our president for Arizona Farm Bureau.
Well, I'm pretty excited about it. Great organization. We have over 23,000 members in the state of Arizona. We do our best to be the voice for agriculture in general around the state. We participate in national agricultural policy. And fortunately, in Arizona, we're such a diverse agricultural state, which means we have members growing everything from pecans and wine grapes to corn to nursery products to beef like ourselves. We have a cactus nursery. So melons, leafy greens, anything you can imagine, we grow in Arizona.
Where is y'all's farm? Southern Arizona is still pretty big.
It is. our ranch is along the San Pedro River, the lower San Pedro River, just north and east of Tucson on the other side of the Catalina Mountains.
Very nice. And that river flows north.
It does. It flows north. There's not much flowing except in the monsoons. But yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful valley.
Very nice. So north, and you said which direction from the Catalinas?
We are on the east side, on the east side of the Catalinas, yep.
So if I remember right from my history, and Rosie may correct me on this, he's joining us live from Prescott. They're up there for the first Saturday in December. It's always the annual Christmas parade and courthouse lighting right there on the square at Prescott. If I remember, the first signs of agriculture that any archaeology has found is on the San Pedro River, and that used to be the travel path for travelers from Mexico into Arizona, and it dates back like 4,000 years that they can tie farming back to the San Pedro River.
That's absolutely true. I don't know for sure I'm on the numbers, but there are several established archaeological sites along the San Pedro, and the Center for Desert Archaeology, which is a firm down in Tucson, spends quite a bit of time excavating and studying that area. And that's one of the things that we've always said, is that agriculture certainly isn't new to Arizona. It goes back, you know, thousands of years. So,
and y'all drove up from Tucson, and you're on your way where, Alex?
Andy.
Yeah. Andy, sorry.
No, that's right. To Payson. Can you hear me? Yeah,
there you go.
We're headed to Payson. We started this crazy tradition. We drive across the state every year to cut a tree, and it's sort of a family tradition, and get the kids together, and it's a lot of fun.
Now you have to have a permit. You can't just go.
Yeah, you can't just go cut one.
Chopping.
You got to get a permit ahead of time. And it's about, what is it, $15?
Yeah, it's about $15, one per household, I believe.
Yeah.
And where do you go in Payson? Is there a designated area that they go to cut? Do you have certain
guidelines?
We can't
tell anyone.
It's a secret
spot.
There's only like 10 left, so we're just going.
No.
Yeah, it's a designated. Depending on which forest you're in, they give you a map and tell you where you're allowed to cut.
And you have certain specifications on what type of tree you can cut down, the size, and kind of help the forest growth management. So that would be a wonder. I've seen headlines. I haven't read into it at all, that there's like a shortage on Christmas trees, that a lot of them in 2008 when the recession hit, a lot of Christmas tree farmers in Carolina and Washington went out of business. And so now it's starting to hit the market because they haven't had that growth period of time. You get a $15 permit and drive up to Payson. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And you help thin the forest.
Yeah, I've actually heard that too. My husband's family has actually been in the Christmas tree business for a long time up in Oregon, and so they've actually had a farm for a while. But yeah, I think I have heard that there's a shortage because it's, you know, agriculture, people think you can jump in and out of it, but you really can't. You get into it, you stay for as long as you can, and when you get out of it, you generally can't get back in.
How many permits are available? Because there's obviously a limited number. There's 6 million people in Arizona. They don't have 6 million permits to go chop down a tree.
It's limited. I couldn't tell you the number because I'm not an expert on that, but I know that if you wait too long, they cut it off. So, and each district office has a certain number. So I think there's 3 district offices in Phoenix, 1 in Payson, for the Tano.
Mm-hmm. So you would go to what resource, what website to look up your...
Forest Service, U.S. Forest Service, go to whichever forest you're near. So if you wanted to go into the Coconino, then you'd probably go somewhere near Flagstaff. If you're going to the Tonto, then you'd go to Payson or here in Phoenix. So I'm talking about it as if I'm an expert, and I'm really not.
But it's a tradition. It's more of an expert than probably most of the people listening.
Generally how it goes is we leave at the break of dawn, we pack a lunch, we drive up there. by the time we get to the spot, you know, because Christmas tree hunting when you live in the desert is just a very strange thing. And so when you get to the spot, we find a tree we like, and then my husband says, no, there's many more trees. So we spend 3 more hours looking, and the tree we get every single time is the first one that we saw. So
Makes me think every time.
Is that true? Yeah.
Makes me think of Christmas Vacation, the movie.
Yeah,
that's our favorite movie, too.
I love
we
that
We come
one.
Home and watch that movie every year.
So when you get home, are you so exhausted from the day that then Sunday's the decorating, or do you still get that done on Saturday?
Well, like John mentioned, when we get home, it's usually dark and it's too late. But the next day, then my husband starts cutting branches and sticking them in different places and cutting the top off because it's way bigger than what we planned.
Hey, well, go big or go home.
Right.
You're going down to chop one out. You got to have something to show for it when
That's right.
Now, what do you do with the tree when it's done? Do y'all mulch it? Do you burn it? Do you have a big bonfire?
Go ahead.
Oh, we usually use it for kindling and burning in our fireplace. We have a fireplace there, or several fireplaces that we use to heat our house.
So it just turns into natural heat.
Yep.
Excellent. It's 602-277-5827. My fault. I did not get our 800 number reforwarded this week after a little annual holiday party we had Thursday night. So dial the local number, 602-277-5827, if you'd like to join the conversation. We're joined with Jay Harper of the Farm's Choice, along with Julie Murphy of the Arizona Farm Bureau, and the Small House, a 130-year ranching tradition here in Arizona, and the new president of the Farm Bureau. You finally, I won't say we turned Kevin out to pasture, but we finally gave him a break. He was there 14 years as the president.
He was, and did an excellent job, put a lot of time into that for quite a while, and so time for a transition, and so I was... I was lucky enough, basically, to try to fill his shoes. So,
well, congratulations. We'll be back with Rosie on the House.